Francie, listening to Irish Radio Network USA, we take our microphones to Ireland and to somebody who's had a great career as a psychologist. And before we tell you about Pieta House, we welcome Joan Freeman, who is the founder. Joan, you're very welcome.
Gosh, it's great to be talking to you. Thank you for having me.
Now, we actually should have known more about your tremendous work in Pieta House. However, since the topic of suicide is indeed one that has been taboo on both sides of the Atlantic for so long, maybe it is it's not that surprising after all. But first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, Joan.
So I was working in a small, very small little place in Leixlip, and it really was a very handy number, if you want to call it that. There was no trauma, there was no stress. I worked with people who mainly had relationship problems rather than anything else, or maybe some bereavement. But if anybody was suicidal or self-harming, I would very, very quickly get rid of them and send them off to their GP or A&E. And, you know, I look back at that time, so we're talking about 11 years ago. I look back at that time with great sadness and regret, because people were in, you know, were looking for support and for help, and they were regarded as fearful. And, you know, I was no better than anybody else. And when suicide came to my own hall door, you can imagine that, you know, my perception of suicide and what it really is all about changed dramatically overnight. So at that point, I stopped working where I was, and I spent the following 3 years researching how can we help people who are in suicidal crisis. And on the 19th of January 2006, 8 years ago, we opened Pieta House.
In Lucan, Dublin?
First of all, in Lucan, yes. And, you know, when I look back at that time, I mean, there was nothing like it anywhere in Ireland, because, as I said, you know, people in crisis would have been viewed as needing medical help, either through the GP or the emergency department. And here, Pieta House was challenging that and saying, you know, sometimes what people need is someone to listen to them, but also deep respect and compassion. And this is the essence and the foundation of Pieta House. And when we opened, there was only 2 full-time people, and that was, one of them was me, and 4 part-time people. And roll on 8 years later, we now have 9 centres across Ireland, and we employ 170 people who deal with, and this is all we do, we specialise in the prevention and intervention of suicide and self-harm.
It seems miraculous to know that this is actually happening. Let's go back to the word taboo, and I don't think there is any topic, as I say, not just in Ireland, but here, that is that creates more stress than the word suicide itself. It's something that we do not want to even think about, much less take on as a reality in life. May I ask you about... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, I was just going to say, I think that the reason why it remained a taboo for so long, first of all, is because it was grounded in the fact that it could be a sin, but also that it was a crime. And in Ireland, I don't know about America, but in Ireland, it's only since 1993, which is literally 21 years ago, just over 20 years ago, that it was reversed as a crime. It's not a crime or a criminal act anymore. But, you know, those images and those feelings linger. And it's only now that people are starting to actually talk about it.
Now, I suppose one of the first expressions of helplessness when either a suicide or an attempted suicide takes place is, you know, that we all have this tendency to say, why didn't we see the signs? Why didn't we notice something? One of the things that I've noticed about your own, about Pieta House is that you actually, you know, you have included the term self-harming, which is, if I'm reading this correctly, is something like what people, maybe on a small scale, you know, do to themselves for the deaths. But why am I trying to explain it when I have you on the phone? Tell us about that.
Well, just to go back to something that you said earlier, people think, you know, when there's a suicide, people are stunned that they didn't see the signs. Sometimes retrospectively, they do see the signs. But the reason why they don't see the signs is because they assume that suicide is very closely linked with depression and mental health issues. And what we have discovered is that, you know, 8 out of 10 people who come to us do not have a history of mental health issues or psychiatric issues. They are responding and reacting to a life event. And I can give you an example of that. When, for example, the recession hit Ireland a few years ago, the suicide rate went up immediately. And that is reflected right across the world. This isn't just unique to Ireland. So that's the reason why people are so unaware of the signs of suicide. The thing about self-harm is that it's mainly concerned children. We have seen children as young as 6 years of age, and in fact 25% of the people that come to Pieta House are under 18. And self-harm is a coping mechanism. It is a tool that children use to be able to verbalize it, to communicate their distress, because they are unable to verbalize it. And that's because either they don't have the vocabulary to describe how distressed they are, or they just are not allowed to speak about their distress. So this is what self-harm is all about. It is not, as most people would think, a suicide attempt. It is a coping mechanism which allows a child, as I said, to communicate, or a form of release of a pent-up emotion that has been there for so long.
In your own experience, are there many who actually, say, show up at one of your centers and walk through the door, say, I am feeling suicidal? How does it work?
So how it works is that everybody knows what Pieta House is now. And when people sit in the waiting room, they all know that the people there present in the waiting room have either had suicidal thoughts or attempted suicide, or that they have self-harmed at some point. And there is the most majestic acceptance of this. So when someone comes to Pieta House, an appointment is made. We have, I mentioned about the 170 staff, 140 of them are qualified either psychotherapists or psychologists. So they're provided, the person who comes to us is provided with one-to-one counseling. And the whole purpose of this counseling, of this therapy, is to hear the reasons why the person wants to die. But then the therapist's job is to try to find out the reasons for living. And that really is the basis of our therapy. It's about listening and about starting the conversation. And, you know, we offer 15 sessions, and everything is free of charge, by the way. And there's 15 sessions, and usually by the 8th or 9th session, the person has come through their crisis.
Talk about the centres, four of them in the Dublin area. I know you have Ballyfermot. Lucan, will tell us where they are. Finglas?
So, Yeah, so we have four in Dublin, Lucan, Finglas, Ballyfermot and Tara. And then we have opened in Limerick, which covers, the centre covers the Midwest. So we're talking about Clare, Limerick and North Tipperary. Then
right.
this year we opened in Tuam, and that covers the West, which covers Galway, Mayo and Roscommon. And then also a couple of months ago we opened in Cork, and a beautiful big centre in Cork that covers most of the South. And then we have just opened in Castle Island in Kerry, and that also would cover most of Kerry. So we're on the cards at the moment is we hope to open Waterford by the end of the year in Waterford, and we're also looking at the Midlands in that zone.
Well, let me ask you, in terms of numbers, you have mentioned that you have actually a staff of 117 and that the demand for services hasn't really let up. Where is the volunteer fit in, or is there? How do you fit in volunteers into your organisation?
Well, there's two ways that volunteers support us. One is because the nature of the work is so difficult, and because we're talking about people's lives, we can't have volunteers providing therapy to people who are in crisis. So the volunteers would help us with teas and coffees, because when you come into Pieta House, whether you like it or not, you get a cup of tea and biscuits. So that's where the volunteer recording hostesses would come in. The other role for the volunteer is, for example, what's happening in a few hours. We have this amazing walk called Darkness into Light, and we have it in 39 venues, 37 in Ireland, one in London, one in Sydney. And really, it's an incredible symbolic walk, because it starts at 4:15 in the morning, and as people cross over the finish line, the dawn is breaking. And again, this is a message that we try to bring out, is that we bring people from the dark into the light. But this amazing event, I mean, we hope to see 80,000 people walking across our land in the next few hours. This amazing event is run by volunteers. Every county has a committee. And these men and women who have their own day job start helping us in the evening, usually from about January onwards, and organize this walk. And that is the startling fact, that this walk is not only run by the community, it's run and loved and held with such affection by the whole Pieta fan, but also in Sydney and in London. There's the Irish people there who are thinking of their own back home.
Joan, I heard through the grapevine anyway that you are looking towards New York and Boston for this coming year. It seems like something that definitely would be a good idea, and as you say, the template has been set in London and Sydney. Just want to back up for a moment and ask you about going back to 2006. How many people, well, that would be too broad, But just in the last year alone, roughly how many people have come to Pieta House for help? And is that on the rise or what?
Well, our three new centres only opened in the last couple of months. So for last year, 2013, we had six centres. And in that through those six centres, we saw over 4,000 people. As I said, children as young as 6 years of age to people in their 80s. And yes, it might seem that everything is on the increase, but there's two things going on now in Ireland. One is that there's better reporting of suicide. You know, because it was a taboo subject, many coroners around the country would actually say that the person who died, it was not a suicide. And they, in fairness to them, they were thinking with great sensitivity to the family, because it was such an awful tragedy for them. But so there's better reporting now. That's really important. But the other really, really good news is that more and more people are willing to seek help. And I think now that people get the message that there's somewhere to go, and that is Pieta House, and, you know, as I said, we've tried to do everything to make it as accessible as possible. It is free of charge, but also anybody can pick up the phone. And you do not need a doctor's letter or a psychic support. All you need is to bring somebody with you.
It's amazing and not surprising that the numbers are rising, because basically, as your centres would, and opening your centres, that would indicate is that a lot of people really didn't know where to go. Let me ask you about jaundice for a moment. The referrals, how do the referrals take place, generally?
Well, again, the message is very loud and clear over here in Ireland that anybody can pick up the phone and make an appointment. So a mother can pick up the phone and make an appointment for her son, a husband for his wife, you know, a friend for a friend. And that is really important, because you know what? There's more people's lives are saved by family, friends and colleagues than by institutions like Pieta House. So it's the public that are absolutely crucial in this referral process. But the other referrals we would get is from the HSE, you know, the doctors,
right.
other community places, even schools. A lot of schools refer children to us. So the referral pathway is pretty good. And I think that because it's a non-clinical, even though they're all, as you said, qualified psychotherapists and psychologists, the fact that it's non-clinical is equally important for the people coming to us.
How long is the waiting list? We would have to assume that with those amazing number of people seeking help, even with 9 centres, what's the normal waiting period?
We do have a waiting list, which is absolutely ridiculous. You know, we're supposed to be a suicide crisis intervention service, but we do have a waiting list. So what we do, at the moment in our centre in Luton, for example, there are 66 people waiting to be seen. Now, what happens in that situation is that we would gauge whether they're high, medium, or low risk. The people who are high risk, we would be seeing them and talking to them every day until a therapist is assigned to them, until their own therapist is assigned to them. What we would perceive as low risk are people who self-harm, because as I said, we don't see it as a suicide threat, but as a way of coping with distress. So the people employed just to actually speak to the people on the waiting list every single day. And that's the only way we can cope at the moment. So at the moment, also I said mentioned about Waterford and that zone, we're looking for a larger centre over on the north side of the city that would take some of the pressure away from the other 4 centres. So that hopefully will also happen this year.
Of course, we probably mentioned it before, but Bishopstown in Cork, there are so many areas. Is there a particular time of year? I think somehow we associate suicide, depression, say, with holiday periods, particularly, say, the Christmas season. Is that over-exaggerated? Does suicide...
Actually, would you believe that suicide or the attendance for Pieta House drops dramatically around Christmas? And that is because we're all much, much kinder around Christmas time. Family reach out to family. We invite people in that we might have seen all year long. You know, we're all so wonderfully nice to each other that, you know, there's a great sense of community and there's a great sense of family and kindness. And this is the time when actually the numbers drop off. And it is extraordinary to watch that. As soon as the 1st, or especially the 2nd of January comes in, or the 1st week in January, people truly believe that things are going to change for them, you know. And when they see that that's not happening, that's when the numbers start rising again, and they start coming to Theatre House. The other time, believe it or not, when it gets a little bit, it becomes a little bit more quiet, is when it's a really sunny day in Ireland. I mean, it lifts everybody's spirits up, and everyone's out in the sunshine grabbing the few rays as quickly as they can, as much as they can. So we tend to see cancellations during a few sunny days. But that doesn't mean that suicide is seasonal. It's not. It is all to do with the environment as well, the family or the community involvement, or whether it can be a bit of sunshine and holiday.
Now, when is there a rule of thumb with respect to, say, the therapy? How long does it take? Is there a program as such that each person goes through?
So what happens is that when someone comes to us first, we bring them into what we call the assessment room, but what it's like is a lovely, gorgeous sitting room. They're sitting on a couch, and the therapist is sitting on a pufa, which means that they are sitting lower than the client. So we're here with a very clear message, we're here to serve you. So the assessment is all about gauging how high risk the person, or if we are the right place for this person. And so after the assessment, if the person, you know, if everything is all right and we are the right service, then they're assigned to a therapist. And for the first few weeks, we see them minimum twice a week. That's for about an hour each time. If they're very high risk, we would see them every day if necessary. We open not only, you know, up until 9 o'clock every evening, but we also open Saturday, Sunday, and bank holiday Monday. And this is because suicide doesn't stop at 5 o'clock on a Friday evening. In fact, if anything, suicide rates increase at the weekends. So if someone is in a bad way Friday night, they can be with us on first thing Saturday morning. So as I said earlier, you know, they are allocated 15 sessions. And obviously if they still haven't gone through the critical stages, then we will extend that. But, you know, as I said, 8 to 9 sessions doesn't lead them out of the crisis.
My guest friend is Joan Freeman, founder of Theatre House. I want to get a couple of fears addressed. People, maybe it's somebody who is suicidal, very depressed, might be concerned about being seen going to one of your centers. You know, we all accept organizations worldwide like Alcoholics Anonymous, those who have drug addictions, and it has a fair amount of, if not a very good amount of respectability, and the you know, and people accept that is something that whereas it's confidential, it is still not something that you would go waving down the street to say, guess where I'm going. Can you just compare that, say, with your organization, with that of Alcoholics Anonymous or Alcoholics and Drug Addiction Centers?
Yeah, well, first of all, you've got to start thinking from the mind of someone who's in crisis. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing physically wrong with them. They don't have addictions. They're going through something in their life that they're finding very difficult to cope with. For example, you know, today is Friday, Adrian. By next Friday, 10 more people are going to die in Ireland from suicide, and 8 of them will be men. And it's not that men have a poorer way of coping at all. In fact, if anything, traditionally and historically, men have always been the ones who have saved us and protected us and helped us. Yet they won't help themselves, and they certainly will not ask for help. So we're talking about men and women who may be going through a difficult time in their life, whether it's a breakup and financial worries and something to do with their work, and sometimes it's one on top of the other. And they're at a stage where they just cannot cope anymore. And the only relief they see is death. The sad fact is, all people do not want to die. They want to stop what they're feeling.
Are there categories of likelihood, for instance, teenagers, is there a certain, say, period of life when suicide or suicidal attempt or self-harm is more prevalent?
See, with teenagers, we're talking about their brain has still not fully developed. So they have no concept of the finality and fatality of suicide. And also, they're very impulsive still at this age. So we're dealing with a different situation again completely. But getting back to how do people come to us without feeling shame or embarrassment? Our houses look like houses. They look like ordinary houses. And that's the important thing. We've tried to make it as non-clinical as possible. And as opposed to maybe the health centres around Ireland, where they're stark, they're sterile, and they're very, they're cold, you know, and it's because of the vast numbers that have to go through these health centres. So we have, you know, as I said at the beginning, this is all we do. We specialise in this area. We do nothing else. So therefore we can be generous with our time and with the way that we help people in crisis.
What degree of cooperation or resistance is there within the family unit in terms of coping or making that initial step, say, to getting a family member to Pieta House in the first place?
You imagine, especially when there's children, that there is resistance from the parents, because the parents automatically go on an immediate guilt trip and think it's their fault. And if they could only realize that for many children, it's nothing about what's going on in their life. It's about how they can't cope with inner turmoil or difficult feelings. So that would be the small part of resistance. The resistance really is, you know, when someone reaches suicidal crisis and someone says to them, I think, you know, you're going through a bad time. Or, have you ever thought of taking your life? There is an enormous sense of relief. There's no resistance. And it's because they've been fighting this for so long that they want someone to help them with this and someone to understand, but also just to take away the burden of that thought in their head all the time. So the resistance never comes from the person who's in crisis, but from maybe people that are embarrassed to ask the question, or they're afraid to ask the question because they're usually afraid of the answer. And that's why people might be reluctant to ask the question, are you suicidal?
What about people who may, at a very low ebb of their lives and maybe contemplating suicide or have given up, and another fear that, well, I could well wind up in, I could go to Pieta House, and if they recognize that I am beyond self-help, I might wind up, getting committed to an institution. That must cross the mind of somebody who is that low and basically helpless.
And I can absolutely understand why people would feel that. The thing is, though, we actually don't believe in institutions where people are kept medicated, kept in bed, because that means the person is sick. Our view is that the person who's in crisis is not sick, they're in distress. We would never, ever, and we wouldn't have the capacity or the ability or the permission to refer anybody to a psychiatric institution. And that has to always come from the person themselves. And really and truly, you know, the person who's coming to us, they themselves are aware As I said, they're not ill. They are distressed. But they are aware that they need support at this moment. They get it from us, but we also then include the family. Because no matter how great the Asia House is, we only see the person for 1 hour every day. There's 23 other hours in the day. And this is where we would encourage family and advise them and guide them just to carry this person for the next while to get them through this crisis.
My guest, John Freeman, founder of Pieta House, an organization in Ireland which was founded and continues to help the prevention of self-harm, suicide, with now 9 centres throughout Ireland. This year, an international expansion into London and Sydney. Hopefully, your desire to spread to areas like New York and Boston will happen quickly. And I have a feeling that there are a great number of people who are listening to our programs who would be who would like that to happen. I think also, if you think that on this very day, that 80,000 people of goodwill took to the early morning walk, run, a 5K run, to show support for Pieta. And let's put it the way that it is, friends. This is an organization which does not receive funding from. It's not a government sponsored. It is not associated with any particular church. Let me check that again with you. You're not associated with any particular religion or church?
No, absolutely not. This is for everybody.
And to have that is fantastic. And what I can do, what I want to do right now, is to ask those who are listening to us, and indeed friends of those who are listening to us, to log on to pieta.ie. That is www.pieta.ie. An organization that, ironically, we didn't know about. And if we didn't know about it here in North America, then we'd have to assume that a lot of others would not know about it either. An organization well worth looking into, and indeed, friends, supporting. Joan, again, good luck. It is, it's amazing, and we are in full support, and will be, and hopefully our listeners will log on and take it from there.
That's great. So maybe some of your listeners might know that Pieta is P-I-E-T-A. It's named after that magnificent sculpture of Michelangelo, the Pieta that's in Rome. And so it is pieta.ie.
That is www.pieta.ie, not .com, .ie. My guest, Joan Freeman. Thanks, Joan. Friends, you're listening.
Thank you so much, Adrian, for that.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network. You